is, here comes the judge. How many of you like to judge things? How many of you, okay, let me word it this way. How many of you judge things even though you may not like it? Okay, that's better. So why don't you stand with me today and let's read out of James chapter 4, 11 through 12. Do not speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Father, as we come into this time of your word, Lord, I pray that your word come alive inside of us, that, Lord, that judgmental thoughts, judgmental actions would just break off of us today, that, Father God, that we would take this scripture to heart, Lord, and be transformed by the hearing of the word. I pray your strength over each one of us today, Father, Lord, that we can learn to apply this to our lives and walk it out in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Judging. You know, we're given a book of judges in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Right in there, Judges. And Judges, the book of Judges, when I was reading through it this week, it's just filled with God judging the people of Israel because they couldn't obey God, because they wouldn't obey God, because they turned away from God's laws and made up their own and did their own thing. And so God would raise up societies or armies to come against them to judge them. And then when they would turn to God with their heart, when they would begin to cry out to God, God would raise up a deliverer amongst them. You know, that's what Gideon was and Deborah was and Samson was. They were deliverers that God raised up when the people began to cry out to God with all their heart, and God would deliver them. When they would start turning back towards God, God would intervene and do something. But through the whole book, it is understood this: God is the judge. In Psalms 75, verse 7, it says, "But God is the judge. He puts one down and exalts another." God is the judge. And James' challenge to us is to not play the role of the judge, to not be that person that's the judge. And our lips must be guided by the law of, everybody say, kindness. Kindness. Truth. Come on, you can say it. Truth. And justice. Kindness, truth, and justice is how our lips should be speaking. Amen? How many of you like it when somebody judges you? Nobody? How many of you like it when somebody talks about you bad when they don't even know you? Now, how many times have we talked about somebody or said something about somebody that we didn't know? And we judged them. See, it's part of the sin of this world, I think, that judgment. And Solomon says this about a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Everybody say, law of kindness. See, it is a law to be kind. That, how many of you know that's a good law? It's kind of like, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt be kind. It's a good thing. And this is something that needs to be a part of every true Christian life. We need to have kindness on our tongue. The law of kindness, and not to speak evil of one another. We shouldn't speak evil of one another. And I'm going to give you three reasons why today. And number one, the first reason why we shouldn't is because you are brethren. You are brothers and sisters. Look at your neighbor and say, you're my brother or you're my sister. Come on, it won't hurt you. Talk to each other. Connect with each other. Now think about this. Your phone's ringing in the front row. That's funny. Think about this. You're going to be, Pastor Jesse, in eternity with Rick. Rick, you're going to be in eternity with Fernando. Fernando, you're going to be in eternity with Barbara. Now, you won't be. Come on, Lillian. You're going to be there with Bob, too. But here's the thing. You won't be husband and wife in heaven. You know, we're going to spend eternity together, but we're not going to be husband and wife. I was with some pastors this week, and the topic of conversation was will there be sex in heaven? I don't think so. I said, I think that's just the fleshly nature. But when you look around in the body of Christ, when you look outside of the realm of the church that you go to, other Bible-believing Christians, and you're going to be in eternity with them. So for me to judge them is pretty hard because, hey, my judgment against them is going to come out. Because God's going to say, all right, here, come here, Ron. All right, white throne judgment, here we go. Let's see, you've been judging. You judge this ministry, you judge that person, you judge that person. You judge what they said, you judge this. So that's how we're going to judge you today. With the measure that you use, is how it's going to come back to you. The judgments you make. So, let me see, I know I'm way off my notes. Hallelujah. But for Mark 3:35, it says, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. And the thing of it is what happens, what James was dealing with, is that people do things differently. Like some people receive the freedom in the New Testament, freedom in Christ, that they could eat whatever meat that they wanted. And so when they received that direction from the Lord, that they could eat the pork or whatever, they could eat whatever, other people that didn't receive that freedom spoke against them. Now, the only reason why we don't receive that freedom is because either God doesn't want you to do it, or you just can't let it go. It's just like me. I can't drink because God told me, don't ever drink again. So I can't drink. The Bible says drink. You can drink, but don't get drunk. If you get drunk, then, you know, then you're falling into the side of sin. So if you're having, you know, if you have a glass of wine, I'm not saying do it. I'm saying I don't ever do it. So I've had Christian brothers that say, hey, Ron, let's go have a beer. I said, dude, I don't drink. And they said, God's grace is sufficient, man. It doesn't matter. And I said, it's absolutely so sufficient that I don't need to have a beer with you. I can have a soda with you, or I can, you know, you got, I told you I went to Sonic the other day and had what did I have? I had strawberry mango drink. You know how many sugars were in that thing? It had like 80 teaspoons of sugar. I mean, it's incredible. So there's certain things that I won't drink with you either, like that. I gotta stop doing that, man. That's just, you know, it's crazy. So, you know, but people had this liberty and freedom, and because people had the liberty to eat the meat, that the law said you couldn't, because now Jesus is, what did he tell Peter? He said, eat what you want. It's all a blessing. Go ahead, eat it. And so when Peter went and he was with some people and he started eating with the Gentiles what they were eating, and then the Jews came along and Peter said, uh-oh, and he stepped back and he stopped eating with the Gentiles and he went over with the Jews. And Paul looked at him and said, you stinking hypocrite. Here you eat with the Gentiles when there's no Jews around, but because of the judgment that the Jews are putting on you, you go back over and you side with them. See, when people take the liberty and the freedom in things that, listen, there's a lot of things in here that are unclear. There's a lot of things that aren't mentioned in here. There's so much junk in our society today that it's not listed in here. Now, when they talk about pharmakia, pharmacy, you know, I mean, I'm sure the Bible doesn't know what a Norco is. I think it's a city up there. But I heard it's a drug that you can take for pain. The Bible doesn't mention whether it's okay to do that or not. So it's got to be up to what you feel God is telling you. And then you got to be able to, and listen, you don't want to get addicted on that stuff. I hear it's highly addictive. But you want to go to the Lord with it. But we can't judge a brother. You can't judge a sister because if they feel they've got to take medicine for something. You can't. We can't judge each other, amen? We may do things differently as brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we need to also guard each other, amen? There will be a time coming when the world will be coming against the church, and we need to be united. There's the days, and you're probably watching the news and you're seeing things, how the church is becoming villainified in the sense that the church is the villain. And I mean, I've seen some videos lately, and it's like, you know, I know they're conspiracy theorist videos, but they're crazy about what they're talking about, you know, that the church is high on the list of people to, you know, that are, well, we're not good for society as Christians. That's what they say. But, you know, judgment in the house of God, we also judge spiritually. Well, I'm more spiritual than you. I'm more spiritual than others. You know, I'm at another level. Really? We're all under the same grace. We all, when we accept Jesus, we have the same reward. We all get heaven. It doesn't, you know, it's just like when he hired the guys in the morning. He said, I'll give you one denarii for the day. And they went out and they began working. They thought, that's a good wage. But then he went back at lunchtime and he saw some guys standing around. He says, what are you doing standing around here? They said, we don't have any work. He goes, go work in my field. And then he went back, you know, at the ninth hour, the 10th hour, the 11th hour of the day. Hey, go out there and work in the field. They must have worked 12 hours a day back then. Probably didn't complain either. Probably worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Because God works 6 days, right? So he sends them out into the field at 11th hour of the day. And then he comes in and he tells his finance guy, hey, pay them all. And so he gave the guys that came in the 11th hour a denarii. And the guys that worked all day were getting excited. They thought, we're going to get more money. We're going to be blessed. We're going to really get some money today, because if he gave them a denarii for working for an hour and we've been working for 12 hours, how much more is he going to give us? And then he gave them all a denarii, and they were upset that those people received the same reward that they did. You are going to receive the same reward as somebody that accepts Jesus on their deathbed. And they're going to get there sooner than you. So we can't be in judgment, amen? I remember I did a funeral one time. One of the toughest funerals I ever did. It's one of Cardi's friends from high school. They called me up, and both the grandparents had passed away, and they'd been sitting on the shelf for a year. The house that you live in. The people that lived in your house, Rick and Maggie, we were friends with them. And they called me and wanted me to do a funeral. I said, okay. So I went over there. You know, I like to sit down with the family and find out, especially when I don't know the people, find out some things about the people that are deceased. And so I said, okay, well, what can you tell me about them? We hated them. I'm like, what? Yeah, they were mean people. They didn't have anything nice to say. We couldn't stand them. They lived with us. It was the most miserable time of our lives, having them live with us and stuff, you know. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I got to do this service and make it good? So I turned it around on them. I talked about judging. And about 10 people accepted the Lord that day. You know, because when we fall into the role of judge, you know, it's especially when we're judging our brethren, we're in a bad way. I see a lot of negative stuff about pastors online, a lot of negative stuff. Breaks my heart. I think, wow, we shouldn't be doing that. And number two, why we shouldn't judge, because this is to judge the law. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. So when we judge somebody, we're saying the law is no good. That above the law, you're speaking evil of the law. What's the law? The law of kindness, the law of justice, the law of mercy, the law of love. For God so loved. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you take the role of judge, you're saying the law is no good. And I know we say, well, I'm not bound by the law. I'm in grace. But there are certain things you are going to be held accountable for when you stand before God. How about even between husband and wife? Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband. One's not based on the other. What are we going to say to that? Leviticus tells us this, the law of Moses, in Leviticus 19:16, it says, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. So we're not to go out and tell things about our neighbor. We're not to be in judgment, and we're not to take a stand against the life of our neighbors, because he is the Lord. He is the Lord. The law of Christ is this in Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, and you will not be judged. So we got to break off judgments. I remember Delonda telling me about observations. She said, a lot of times we sit back and we observe things, and then as we're observing things, even in the church, we begin to judge. We begin to observe this or that, and then it just, because we hold on to those observations and don't do anything about it. Like if you observe that Pastor Maggie doesn't have enough help out there, and then it can turn into a judgment against her, or you could do something with it. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to step out and help you once a month. So, you know what I'm saying? You could either make it a judgment, an observation turning into a judgment, or you could jump in and help. I used to judge Delonda all the time when we were younger. It'd be like, because we would, how many of you judge your mate? Don't make me feel lonely up here. All right, there we go. I'm talking to the right crowd. So I would judge Delonda when we were younger because, you know, I worked all week, and so on Sunday mornings, you know, I would sleep till there was like 10 minutes before we had to leave, and I'd up, hit the shower, and boom, be ready to go. And then I'd be yelling at her, why aren't you ready? Oh, my gosh, you know, you got all week to be ready for this day. Come on. And I'd go on, and I'd yell at her all the way to church. We'd get to church, and she'd be like, don't touch me. I'm like, come on, hold my hand. You know, no, don't touch me. Because I was bad. I was bad. I was like an old lady. I couldn't let it go. But I didn't say that. I was like an old man. I couldn't let it go. So, take that off the tape. But the Holy Spirit nailed me one day. He told me I was part of the problem. And if I wanted my wife to be there, then I need to be part of the solution. So I begin to get up in the morning, and I begin to, instead of judging my wife, I begin to make the family breakfast on Sundays. I made sure my girls had breakfast, and Delonda had some breakfast. And because we lived, 21 miles away up on the Lake Matthews, up in the hills up there, and it was 21 miles door to door. And so, you know, everybody be hungry, you know. It's, you know, like when you bring your kids to church hungry, all they want, they don't want to go to class, you know. They want something to eat. They want, can't wait for snack time, Miss Maggie, you know. So I started making breakfast, but then it needed to go further because our girls, they had to have their hair done, you know. So I started doing their hair. I would get the crimper out, and I'd crimp it, you know, so they have this nice frilly hair, and I would make sure they got dressed. I'd get their little fur coats on them, you know. I'd have them all ready to go for church so that it wasn't her responsibility. I began to take on a responsibility, so I'd stop judging her and getting yelled at by the Holy Spirit. So our rides became more peaceable. See, but when we're in judgment, when we're judging each other, things, it opens up the door to judgment. Amen. That's what it says. The sum and substance of both is that men should love one another. Amen. We should love one another. When we're condemning, when we're judging, we're judging the law of God. And we're saying it's not good enough. And to break God's commandments is in the effect to speak evil of them, to judge them, as if they were too strict and laid too great a restraint upon us. That's what we're saying when we fall into judgment and we're judging people. We're saying the law is too strict. It's too great for me to do it, to love somebody. I took some of this out of this commentary. I loved reading this commentary, so I pulled it out of there. To Christians to whom James wrote, they were more apt to speak judgment on each other. As I said, about foods that they ate, then there's the circumcision. Jesus said you need to circumcise your heart, and the Judaizers were saying you have to circumcise your body. Jesus brought the full meaning that it was a heart issue. So there's a lot of judgment that took place. Even the Pharisees were judging the disciples, and they said, "Hey, you guys don't fast. What is it? How can they be religious? They don't fast. You guys don't keep the Sabbath the way we do. How come?" There's a lot of judgment when people don't do things the same way that we do. One of the biggest judgments right now going on in the body of Christ is, "Well, you don't speak in tongues." And it's become a judgment. And we got to stop judging each other. Just because you speak in tongues, you want to know why people don't feel the need to speak in tongues? Because people that are speaking in tongues are doing just as much junk as people out in the world. When the people that are praying in the Spirit start walking in the Spirit like never before, then the people can say, "I need what you have. What is it that you've got? You're praying in tongues? I need that because I see holiness on you." See, but when we are praying in the Spirit and then we go out and we do what the world does, they're like, "Why do I want to pray in tongues?" I mean, I hear that too, but I hear that from people. Why should we pray in tongues when the Pentecostal church is just as bad as anybody else? They're not above anybody. They're not acting more holy. They're not doing greater things for God than somebody that doesn't speak in tongues. See, so there comes, we create this judgment against each other that creates a division in the body of Christ that doesn't allow us to come together. Now, last night we had the prayer drive for the city. We met here in the parking lot. There's seven churches. We met right here in the parking lot, and we went out. We gave everybody a map, and we had a different areas to pray over, and so the people went out, dispersed, and I had little car magnets that said pray for the city, we dispersed and we prayed over the city, and then we gathered in front of the mosque up by Santana Park, and we prayed over the city, and we prayed for the Muslims in the community. Great time of unity. Seven churches came together for that. I think, wow, that's great, but there's 97 churches in Corona. We got some ground to plow to come together. We got to learn to celebrate our differences. Otherwise, we fall into judgment, and we're putting us. See, that's what Satan did. He put himself above God, and that's when he fell. We don't want to be in that role like Satan. Let us take heed of judging the law, for the law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect. If men break the law, leave the law to judge them. If they do not break it, let us not judge them. Judgment is not a good thing. The writer in this one book I was reading says this is a heinous evil because it is to forget our place, that we ought to be doers of the law, and it is to set up ourselves above it as if we were the judges of it. That's what judgment does when we start judging people. He who is guilty of sin, here cautioned against it, is not a doer of the law, but a judge. He assumes an office in a place that do not belong to him, and he will be sure to suffer for his presumption in the end. Those who are most ready to set up for judges of the law generally fail most in their obedience to it. I told you a few weeks ago in the book of Ever Increasing Faith with Smith Wigglesworth, he said, just discern yourself for a year and you'll never judge anybody again. Just look in the mirror for a year and examine what you're doing, how you talk, what you relay to people. Do that for a year, and then you'll never be judging anybody else. Luke 6:38, and I've already quoted part of it. It says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, we put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And when he's talking about this, he's talking about judgment. He's talking about judgment, condemnation. So when we're judging somebody, we're condemning, the measure that we use, it's going to come back to us. What we say about people, it's going to come back to us because it's all being recorded. And then number three, why we shouldn't? Because God, the lawgiver, has reserved the power of passing the final sentence on men wholly to himself. James 4:12, when we already read it, there is one lawgiver. Everybody say one. Who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? It's very easy to judge people. But it's a lot better if we just obey the law. If we just give ourselves over to what God has for us. Instead of looking, you know, that the scripture that we read in Matthew these last couple of weeks, get the plank out of your own eye before you go after the speck in somebody else. It's so true in that. It'll keep us from judging other people. I'm skipping up real quick here. But Jesus also talked about, as we've been in Mark 3, which I read yesterday, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And when we have judgment in the house and we're judging each other, there's no unity of the faith, and the anointing doesn't flow. God can't do what he wants to do in that kind of arena. When the Pharisees came against Jesus, speaking evil of him, speaking against what he was doing, it created a division there. And the Pharisees were against Jesus because of the envy and the jealousy that they had for what he did. So they judged what he did. They said what he was doing was by the devil. It's just like I was reading this morning in Mark chapter 4 when Jesus spoke to the storm. He commanded the storm to stop. And so what that tells me a couple things. Number one, the storm was from the devil. The storm was from the devil because Jesus does not rebuke God. He doesn't rebuke himself. So the storm was from the enemy to stop him from getting where he was going. You'll read later on, when you get further on, that when Jesus got to the other side, he didn't go to the harbor. He went where the cemetery was, and that demon-possessed guy came out running at him, and Jesus cast the demons out of him into 1,000 pigs. The pigs ran down the hill and jumped into the sea, and they were all dead. Jesus got back in the boat, and he went to the other side. He went there with purpose, one purpose, to deliver that young man. And the enemy was saying, "I've got to stop him." And he created a storm. And Jesus spoke to the storm. And he said, "Peace, be still." And the peace came. See, Jesus didn't cast out demons by Satan. He did it by the power of God. And so for the Pharisees to judge him is insane. And we need to be careful that we don't judge what God is doing. Because it may be different. It may be different in Jawan than it is in me. And it may be different than Angela than it is in Jesse. It just may be different what God is doing. And we got to be okay that it's different. You may go to this church and then you pop in at your cousin's church for something and it's different. So we celebrate the differences. If they believe in Jesus Christ, amen. But they'll do things differently. We are different. We all look different. Look around. Man, we are all different. Our voices are different. Our DNA is different. Except for when we come to Jesus Christ, we get the DNA of Christ inside of us, amen? So it's not our own. So we've taken on the DNA of Christ. So how can we begin to judge each other? Put yourself on the same level of God? I don't think so. Our command is to love. Love above all else. Love above all else. Let's pray. Father, we just give you praise for this day. We thank you for this time in your presence, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that for all of us, that you would, Lord, that you would examine our hearts today. That, Lord, if there's been judgment in us that we need to release, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Father God, that we would let those things go, and that, Lord, we would begin to choose our words wisely. Lord, I see just the measure that we use is what will come against us. Maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor Ron, I've kind of been judgmental lately, and I just need to put it under the blood today. If that's you, just raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody else? Amen, amen. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Why don't we stand, and why don't we just join hands in unity across the aisles here? And let's just pray a prayer of unity over us today. Praise you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you know all about each one of us. You know our goings and our comings. You know, Father God, where we've been, Lord, if we've been judgmental, if we haven't been judgmental. Lord, you saw the hands that went up today. And I pray, Father God, for a release of judgment out of our hearts and out of our minds. That, Lord, that we would be doers of the word, Lord, and we would not judge it. We would not judge whether we should do it or not. We would just receive the word of the Lord and act upon it, Father. Lord, I pray for strength over every person here. I pray for a strength of a spirit of unity in this house. Lord, that you would cover the unity. The Lord, we contend for the unity of the faith in this house. And Father God, that you would just be with us as we go our way today. I speak healing, protection, and blessing over every person here today. Lord, and that we would walk, Lord, in non-judgment of our brothers and sisters. That, Lord, that our measuring stick would become very short in judgment. Lord, that when we stand before you, that we'd receive mercy after mercy after mercy. I pray that we would be merciful just as you've been merciful to us. You haven't given us what we've deserved, but you gave us grace, favor, and blessing. And I pray that, Father God, that in our hearts we would begin to extend favor and blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that you give us the strength to walk that out. I give you praise for this day, Father, and for your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.